Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 691, PC Play, recorded live on July 3rd, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back with another guest this week. We were supposed to have him on last week, and then schedules got conflicted a little bit, so we have him on this week. It's Masters from Halo SBV3. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back again.
We've been having you on a lot recently.
Yeah, I think what we were saying earlier, this is my fourth or fifth time in the last year. Because we did the one in Seattle when we all T-posed for Halo, which I still get notifications about.
Oh, jeez. You still get notifications for that?
Yeah, every once in a while one pops up.
Dang.
Someone likes it. I don't know why or how people are finding that tweet, but I guess people are looking up T-pose and just scrolling for hours on hours.
I guess.
And then we did the Kilo 5 one, the MCCPC announcement, and this one. And I think maybe one for Infinite's announcement, too, or something. Or Infinite's trailer. Or no, maybe. No, that was something else I was supposed to be on, but then didn't get to go to.
Right.
So I didn't cheat on you guys.
Right. It's all good. You're allowed to go to other places, too.
You're cheating hard.
Oh. It's a open podcast relationship.
Yes. So, we're going to be talking about Halo SPV3 a little bit today. We also got a huge, and I mean huge, MCC update from Postums. It's like it doesn't have anything better to do. We've got a little bit of other news we'll touch on, and that'll be it for tonight. We are recording on a Wednesday, because tomorrow, which will be Thursday, I'm flying out to Orlando for the first Halo Outpost. Which is exciting and a little terrifying because one of my panelists is now on the main stage. So that's going to be fun.
Fun!
Yeah. Talk about that in a little bit. As we normally start off with, we have a little bit of housekeeping. So, GT, how we do with Frag and Friday?
I would love to tell you, but I've had one of those weeks so far.
I will say that you were kind enough to do a game of Warzone Turbo for me.
we had a lot of fun. We did one game of Warzone Turbo just for Dust.
Yes.
So we make sure he got his game of Warzone Turbo in.
They were
under
nice.
Under duress. But no, we had a lot of fun. We played Super Fiesta. We played some Husky Raid, which was a lot of fun. They've got a lot of really good maps. I look forward to playing it again this week. There will be a change up to this week's Frag and Friday. It will not be streamed. Hopefully Dust gets this out before Friday. But we will put something out on Twitter, for those of you that are actually in the chat. Unfortunately, my streaming rig died, horribly. I was able to get it to boot up and be able to save my files and stuff. But it is definitely in no condition to stream. There are parts coming. I'm hoping that I will have them next week before next week's Frag on Friday. But I'm not holding my breath because I'm buying older parts that are gently used.
Yes.
So you know how that goes. Gently used computer parts. This ought to be interesting, but we will be having it. So you're more than welcome to join in if you want. So that applies to this week and possibly next week.
Very nice. All right. Well, not very nice. Yeah.
Well, not nice for me, but nice for them.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate, but we'll survive. I think we'll manage. So I obviously will not be there on Friday because I will be in Orlando. Doing two panels on Friday. Yay.
Too bad they don't have game streaming, and then you could you know, join in via game streaming. And then we could watch you do this.
Right.
Like, bounce all over the map.
Right.
Speaking of which, I was playing a game tonight, and that was actually happening to me. I was shot a guy with a shotgun, and he didn't even turn around and look at me. Somebody was playing with a lag switch, I think. But anyway.
Yeah, that's like Halo CE Halo 2 levels of connection issues. Yeah. Not shouldn't be Halo 5 at all. Right. All right. Very nice. I did not stream last week on Sunday because of trying to get everything prepped for Outpost, which I'm still frantically trying to get a lot of stuff done. We'll see how it goes. But I will be resuming the streaming with Laird, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. We'll be diving into more Halo CE Definitive, or not Halo CE, Halo Wars Definitive Edition. We're currently working on the par times or and the gold medals on all missions. So that's what we're working on for now. And yeah, I think that's it for our house notes. So we'll go ahead and jump on into a huge MCC update. This was posted by Postums today, yesterday? Oh, this was last week. Oh, this was the one on Friday last week. So this is a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
People probably noticed that some streamers and grassroots people were streaming Halo Reach PC this past weekend. There was a very small flight that went out, mostly for content creators, streamers, and ACS grassroots folks. The purpose of this flight was mainly to...
Actually, most of the people were were picked via computer spec.
Right, but there was a heavy influence on...
They did push it out to a lot of streamers. But the primary reason they picked people was the specs of their computer.
Okay.
Not just because they were public entities.
Gotcha.
They cleared that up on Twitter earlier today.
Ah, okay. I did not see that. Thank you for enlightening us.
I just didn't want people get confused on that.
Nope, that's good. That's a very good thing.
The streamers probably did get a little bit of preferential treatment because they were streamers, but the main thing was they were going for computer specs. I don't know what computer specs, but they were going through a certain set of specs.
I guess my specs were too good because I have a 1080 with a 4K monitor. Who knows?
Yours were too good. I guess mine were too poor. I don't know.
You don't even have a computer anymore.
Currently, yeah, it wouldn't have mattered because I wouldn't be able to play it anyway.
Hopefully that gets resolved soon.
I hope so, too.
So with that flight, I think one of the things they were also trying to focus on, too, was just validating the content delivery just to a little bit bigger audience as well. And there'll be obviously more flights, which will be expanding a little bit more and more. I don't think they gave a specific on when their next anticipated flight is, but I can't assume it's going to be too far away.
I hope it's next month.
I'm guessing it's going to be within 4 to 6 weeks.
Late this month.
That'd be nice.
I would think they would have builds that are a little bit more feature-rich to show at Outpost. They were making a big deal about being able to play MCC PC at Outpost.
So the thing that they've been saying on social media is it's going to be the build that was at E3.
So that's the same one that people have here.
Correct. The same build that people had in this flight was very, well, might not necessarily been the same build, but it was a very similar build to E3 because it only had the tip of the spear mission in it.
I'm sure there was probably some tweaks to it from the build that they put on E3.
Yeah, some minor updates.
I'm sure
updates.
They fixed some bugs between then and the release of the flight.
I would assume so. So in the update by Postums, there is a 4K YouTube video that's a playthrough of Tip of the Spear. I'm guessing it's just done by one of the devs at 343 because it has a little dev account profile on it. But it is a 22, 23, 24 minute run-through, playthrough of the Tip of the Spear. So you can go watch that if you haven't had a chance to watch it in 4K, albeit it's going to be YouTube's compressed 4K.
I haven't watched it in 4K and won't watch it in 4K because I don't have anything I can watch it in 4K on. So it doesn't matter.
You can watch it in 1080.
I have seen enough of Tip of the Spear in 4K, compressed down to 1080p. No, don't get me wrong. It looks great. But, you know, it doesn't matter how you consume it. Unless you're getting the raw video feed, you're not seeing what it really looks like.
Yep. That's true.
You know, because it doesn't matter any streaming platform, there's some kind of compression there.
Yeah, there was a really good article recently about The Long Night of Game of Thrones and how basically the fact that everybody streams Game of Thrones is what ruined it for a lot of people. That the only way to really enjoy that episode is going to be on 4K Blu-ray because it compresses all the blacks and the way it does the compression algorithm. So it crushes all the black colors and tries to pixelate it or whatever. So you don't have to transmit as much data. Mm-hmm, but that's why people were complaining they couldn't see anything, because depending on their streaming quality, it was like blurring anything that was like really dark.
Well, yeah.
In layman's terms.
Unless you pay for the high-end streaming, you're not going to get that stuff. Because that was done in 4K HDR, wasn't it?
They film it that way.
Yeah. And if you don't watch it that way, you're not going to see everything. I never got into Game of Thrones anyway, so it didn't really matter.
But yeah, well, you're kind of lucky.
Neither did I. I know there's a lot of people complaining about it, though, because I definitely heard about it.
Yeah, I'm only a little bit bitter.
Just a little?
Only Let's a little? Put it this way. I'm more upset at Game of Thrones. I think people are more upset at Game of Thrones than anybody was about Halo 5. So if you're in the Halo community and you saw the outrage for 5, the outrage for Game of Thrones is worse.
I can believe it.
That's sad. That really is.
It's one of those things where it ruins your enjoyment for everything that came before. But I won't get us sidetracked on that.
All right. Whatever.
I'm liking this next paragraph in the update. Sort of. Yes.
Well,
it's really crushing my heart, though.
Yeah. So what? You want to just go ahead and touch on it, GT? Since you
sure. Brought it up?
Okay.
Well, many online have been asking the question, are we going to ever be able to play our Forge maps that we made in previous Halos? The answer is yes. What they're going to do is they will be doing a one-time copy of both maps and game types that we have uploaded to our file shares so they can begin preparing them for future implementation into MCC. This copy will occur for every Xbox Live account with maps and modes on it. And the fun part is that it, content saved locally will not be transferred. So the stuff that you still have on your memory cards and stuff, nope. And I think even if you have it up on your OneDrive or your online storage, I don't think they're going to pull it off that either. I think it's only on your file share.
It's probably that way because of all the privacy and content regulations and all that stuff that's been happening recently. But yeah, it definitely sucks.
Possibly. The question I've got, you know, some of the maps I've got on my file share, matter of fact, all the maps and game types that are on my file share belong to somebody else. So does that mean they're going to pull those down and convert them?
I guess they're doing a one-for-one type of thing. Here's another question, too, though. MCC, the file share limit is... Or, well, no, is it file share or custom limit is 50?
No, the file share that they're going to be looking at is your classic file share. So for Halo 4, Halo 3, Reach, those file shares.
Mm-hmm.
which I think there's 25 per game limit.
It's 24 in Halo 3, I thought.
Okay, 24 or 25, something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, so...
One time. Yeah.
All we can do is hope that they pick the good ones and hope that they make it to where you can actually put some of those in MCC, then a total of 50 across all six games. Six games now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm hoping if they're doing this, they're improving the whole file share and file browser system in MCC to support it. I think they would have to.
I hope so, because it sucks for MCC right now.
Yeah. Just a bit.
But anyway.
It'll bring a new kind of fresh life into it, I think, at least.
Yeah. I mean, we'll... At least we're getting some of the maps ported over.
Some. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what gets converted. I'm guessing a lot of the popular ones are going to get converted. And I think they even said in a previous update they were going through and pulling some popular ones already.
Mm-hmm. It says they will be doing... due to the complex of the nature, they will be doing only a single one-time migration for each file type. They've separated this into two separate days. Day one, maps and game types.
Day one is maps. Day two is game types.
Yeah. It says day one. Or one day, one day. But anyway, let's see.
Well, yeah, because they might not be consecutive days.
Get your stuff up on your file share now.
So they'll announce it when it's going to happen. They haven't made a date yet. But
get it up there now so you don't forget.
Right. This will happen, I believe they said, as the games get added to PC, the PC version. So it'll probably be like when Halo Reach gets added to PC. They'll look at doing the conversion then. Once Halo 3 starts going to PC, they'll look at doing the conversion for Halo 3 and then for Halo 4 when Halo 4 comes to PC.
So, do it now.
Yes. Don't forget about
it. Don't screw around with it. Just do it.
Yes.
Because if anybody's anything like me, you will forget.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing that after I get back from Orlando.
I would love to do that if I could still had all my maps.
It's just a matter of also, like, if someone doesn't have a lot of maps, say, hey, can you put this on your file share so I can get converted and then send it to me afterwards? Thanks.
There will be multiple accounts for me, because currently I have 5 accounts, 1 main account, and 3 Smurfs and my wife's.
Okay.
So I will be spreading maps and game types across all of them.
That's the way to do it, though. You kind of have to. Especially when you have 100 plus maps.
Yeah. We'll see how many are going to get loaded up.
I'm guessing there'll probably be something down the road, too, where if there's other popular maps that are up there that aren't in file shares, they'll probably pull.
Mine will be duplicates of somebody else. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the stuff I put up on my file share, well, all the stuff I put up on my file share is stuff I've downloaded. But I want to make sure that stuff gets put out there.
Right.
And then it's up to 343 to make sure that we've got a way to find it.
So it'd also be interesting to see if, depending on how far apart the maps and game types are, as far as the conversion day, having all the maps staged, and then once that's done, go back into 360, then change out your file share with game types and do it. I don't know if they would support something like that, but that might be a good clarifying question to ask Postums.
Yeah, possible. But they may just pull all the information at one time, too.
And then convert it, yeah.
and just do one day they convert the maps, the next day they convert the game types.
That's true. That could happen as well.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the map and the game type to each one of them until I fill my get to capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then provided I think I still have all my Halo 4 ones, and I'm pretty sure I've lost all my Halo 3 ones. My Halo 3 and Reach ones.
That's unfortunate. Was it like on a memory card or something else?
I kept my memory cards because I had more than 100 maps.
Hmm.
I had two memory cards. I kept Race on one, which, don't get me wrong, I'll miss them, but it's not catastrophic. But then I kept all the shooter game types on the other one.
Don't tell Duquesne about the race maps being disappeared.
You have no idea how many of them are his. Well, he'll just have to get in there and reforge them. Or make sure he gets them all up on his file share.
Or just get 343 to download them all.
Five accounts or something.
Well, I don't know how many accounts you can create, but
I think as long as you have a different email address, you can create an account.
It's good to see all that stuff preserved, though. It was really sad when MCC came out. I was basically like, yeah, like go back and remake all of this.
But the fact that they're even being able to change them over as well, I think if there's anything popular that doesn't get transferred over in this kind of all grab thing, they could probably still do one-offs.
Yeah, they probably can do it, but will they do it? That's the question.
If a map and mode is popular enough, I don't see them not doing it. It has to be popular enough, though.
They seem to be pretty reluctant about doing it this time.
Yeah.
Especially the way they worded this particular paragraph or this particular part of the article.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-shot deal. So, but anyway, we'll see.
Indeed. A couple other little things to note about this section before we move on to the next one is there will not be conversion of screenshots, films, or film clips. Whenever the conversion is done, it'll appear in your file share on MCC. And I think that was kind of all the little finer detail things. Yep.
I just learned that there's a file share in MCC.
There will be one.
There is.
Or there will be a better one, I guess.
No, there's a file share there now.
You can't find anything if you go looking for it. Like, add a gamer tag, and you can only get it by someone's gamer tag or something.
Yep.
So people set up gamer tags where people would just load maps and stuff. Like
community. That's why I mean there will be a better one when this comes down the road, because this will not work with the current file share stuff.
No, it won't.
So there will have to be a new and better file share in order to support this on what they're doing.
A lot better one. Anyway.
Next section we have here is a little Q&A with Michael Farney, who's the lead producer on MCC for PC.
Cruising
with the Farns. Kind of reminds me of Farnsworth a little bit. This is just kind of answering some of the community's popular questions or some other common Q&As that they might have out there. One of the big things is that on PC, Forge and Theater will not be there by default for Reach. It will be on the Xbox, but some of the prime things on PC is they're still trying to work out the native feeling keyboard and mouse controls for Forge and Theater. So instead of waiting to get that implemented and then release on PC, they figure get the experience out there, let people start playing it, and then they'll implement these other supporting tools later on.
Yeah, I think it's probably the most important thing is to get the games out onto PC, the actual campaign and the multiplayer.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, the Forge and Theater do need to be there. And it would be even better if they could fix the theater for the later games like Halo 4, but that's not going to happen. Anyway.
Yep.
Because they're not going to rewrite the game just for that. It's I think it's important to do that. And then, you know, to get the mouse and keyboard to feel correctly for the Forge is also important.
I wonder how much of a Halo 5 Forge tool set, as far as mouse and keyboard, is going to influence what they do for Reach.
I don't know.
And, I mean, respectively, same thing for Halo 3 and Halo 4. Because they'll have Forge on PC for that, too.
Forge for Halo 3 ought to be interesting with mouse and keyboard.
It'd be nice if you just like click and drag and push and pull and all that kind of stuff in Forge.
Yeah.
Have the three arrows to do the orientation and everything too.
Mm.
We'll see.
I haven't really messed with Halo 5's Forge, so I really can't even tell you how it works.
It's a beast. It is definitely a beast.
I mean, I know it's a very capable program, but you know, I've never messed with it that much on PC. I'm not a forger, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever really been into it either, but I'm definitely not the case where they're like going for with it. Like, Forge is definitely not targeted for me. It's like, oh, you mean I can't compile a script on my own? Like, no thanks.
You know, I've jumped in.
Maybe one of these days.
Yeah, let's hope.
I mean, there might be infinite possibilities there. But then,
yeah,
sure. I mean, occasionally I'll fire up the Halo 5 Forge and I'll jump into just, you know, the custom games browser and play a few customs. There are people that do have, you know, that have set up, you know, like FFA custom games and things like that.
I still have to get the achievements for Halo 5 Forge, where it's like get 10 people to play on your map at once and build 3 maps, all that kind of stuff. So I still got achievements to get for Halo 5 Forge.
Yeah, me too. I haven't even done those yet. I haven't even started to. I think I haven't even fired it up in probably 5 months.
I kind of gave up on achievements, or at least caring about tracking them a while ago.
I would still like to try to get 100% of achievements.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of them are just so like obscure. I think I gave up when it came to MCC because there was just so many. But I know there's some people who really like hunted them down.
I have 22 left in MCC. 6 of them being Lazo. So I'm getting close. Another thing with theater, people have been asking if save films locally are going to be available. They're not committing to that right now. They're still trying to work out just getting theater to work on PC, but they do hear the community on wanting that kind of capability, so it's still to be determined at this point.
Well, no, never mind. I was going to say, with save films, can people just boot up like Halo 3 or Reach or 4 on the Xbox One and just use the game DVR to capture what they wanted from their save films? But then I realize you're not going to get the enhanced resolution in FPS unless you're on Halo 3, which is the only one that supports 4K.
Well, right now, GT, you probably know this a little bit better. You can only save so many films, I know for sure, and I don't even know how... Can you actually save film, or is it just like bookmarking
a film? In the Master Chief Collection, there is no theater. There is theater. But it works like it does in the original games. Like in Halo 3, you can save a film and then you can go in and watch the film.
But you can only save so many films.
Yeah, I don't use that function. Well, I haven't been using that function because I haven't been playing those games. The only game that I would play that I would want that is Halo 5, and it doesn't have it. So, for campaign at least.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, my little waiting or break screen that I've created. I actually did that on the original 360 and just captured it there.
Still looks good. Still works.
Or no, I'm sorry. The original game, but I did play it on the Xbox One.
Oh, so
the 360. It was on the Xbox One.
The 360 game with the 4K enhancements.
Yeah, the emulated game
with the 4K enhancements.
No, it wouldn't be 4K because I don't have it hooked to a 4K monitor.
Well, I mean, even like even the graphical fidelity but of the 4K assets. But
the updated graphics, yes.
Next section we have here is just a reminder that Halo Reach is going to be playable on PC at Outpost Discovery. So there's that. Next update is about the progression system. So they got Max Slazer. Slager? How do you say his name, Masters? You probably know. Slagor? Max Slagor? S-C-L-A-G-O-R?
No, I don't think I've ever heard.
So he's the MCC design director, and this is a Q&A about all the progression stuff. Basically, it's very similar to Reach's concept. There is going to be seasons with unlockables. Those unlockables do not go away at the end of the season. You can get them in future seasons using the season points that you are going to be earning. There's going to be a global rank and a per playlist rank, and the medals are kind of a combination of Halo 3 and Halo 5 style medals. At least the work in progress is that they have up on the update.
I mean, they don't look too bad.
No.
Well, as far as, yeah, the rank insignia.
So similarly to Reach, where you had a rank that was based on XP, you'll have a global rank that keeps on growing as you get more XP. Then you'll have a per playlist rank, and that rank is actually, I think, a little bit more, that might be a little more skill based of a rank.
Well, it looks like they have a bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and then max rank.
Diamond, probably.
Probably.
So it is kind of a, I mean, to me, it's a mix of Halo 3 and Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Or not Halo Reach, Halo 5. And Seasons 1 unlock is supposed to be very similar to the progression in Halo Reach, except it's not going to take nearly as long to unlock it, which will be nice.
I still haven't finished that. Maybe I'm going to have to start doing some streams just to finish that.
I've got to do that, too. There's some stuff that I haven't unlocked in Reach.
No, I've got everything unlocked. I just haven't hit max rank.
I haven't done either. I haven't completed either yet. For Reach's first season, it's going to take players who play a few hours several days a week to unlock the items, and right now they're estimating it'll take someone approximately 75 to 100 hours of playing time to unlock all of the items in the season. They don't specify how long the season is, but they've hinted at the season, as far as how MCC is getting released to PC, that the season will last as long as that game is the newest game. So, like, the Halo Reach season will start when Reach releases, and then it'll end when CE comes out, type of thing. So that's the anticipated season.
I wonder what they're going to do after they've released all the games, as far as seasons.
So they've got a roadmap planned for content and trying to keep things fresh and additional seasons.
No, I meant as far as how long the season's going to be.
Oh. So for Halo 5, it started out monthly, and now it's, what, every other month or every 3 months?
Yeah, it's every quarter now. But they've kind of also ran out of content for that, so.
Yeah.
We don't get new badges anymore. We
just and it get- sucks, because how long does it take to create one of those badges? A day?
I think it probably has more to do with the cost of verifying an update and pushing it.
Probably.
I mean, it's a Microsoft studio. What's the cost? I mean, it's an internal cost. What do you freaking do?
Honestly, I really don't care because I want them concentrating on Infinite anyway.
Well, I mean, the time is money too. So
it's one guy doing it for a day. I mean, it doesn't take that long to mock up one, but whatever.
I don't care.
Well,
but
then getting the whole thing put through whatever certifications and stuff they have. And
yeah, you never know what's going to break Halo.
Yeah, believe me.
Masters probably knows exactly what can happen. Some innocent little tweak destroys the game.
When I was younger, I released a map, and at the last minute, we changed one value on the Warthog in terms of the ammo, so it wouldn't run out. And the map released with no ammo. It was not my finest moment.
Oops.
Oops.
Yeah. Big oops.
Next section we have in here is just a recap of Reach at E3. They had over 400 responses from the feedback that they got, which is nuts.
I see they got the comfy chairs there.
Yeah, so comfy. Those things were a pain to move around.
I'm pretty sure there's a reason that they were what they were.
Well, that was all the stations were like that, not just
I know
the Halo station.
They don't want you hanging around any more than their 10 minutes.
Except if you're me.
Where you don't want to be there after 10 minutes.
Wait, so they didn't make you have to stand or anything?
I mean, you had to stand in line.
Oh, no, to play, because I remember...
No, you got to sit down to play.
Right.
Yeah, cause I remember at PAX when they had Halo Wars 2 on PC and we were playing. We had to stand up and use the mouse and keyboard and stuff, or stand and use the controller, and I hate doing that. I can't play video games when I'm standing. And I never get people who like get really excited when they're playing a game and stand up in front of the TV an inch closer.
I can do that with games like Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Boy, but that's different. That's like guitar. But right. Like, I can't play. I can never like play when I'm standing up. I always feel weird.
It's not the most comfortable or enjoyable position to play games in.
I wouldn't mind it if I had like an up desk, because there's sometimes I would like to just stand up for a little while.
I've contemplated getting one of those, like, Razor things.
In order to do that, the way my current setup is, I'd have to get two of them, because I'd have to have one that, the way I'm currently looking, and then one off to my left, because that's where my main monitors and everything are, is to my left.
For the two different setups, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I've got, you know, basically all my computer stuff off to my left. And then I have my streaming stuff in front of me, you know, like, you know, my output for the Xbox or the PC games, which, you know, whatever I decide to be playing. And then, you know, I've got another screen where I can monitor chat and things like that.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me. I have six displays on my desk. One that's a 43-inch 4K. The other is a 27-inch
iMac. Dang.
I've got a 10-inch, a 21, two 27s, and a 17 currently.
Man, we're really comparing sizes here.
Ah! Oh. Sorry, let me whip this out.
Ah! I've got my 4K, which is a 28-inch. I've got my gaming monitor, which is a 24-inch. Asus 1080, which I've had for years. Got two 21 inches. I've got a like 57 inch 4K TV. I've got 100.
That's not on your desk, though. That doesn't count.
Okay. You're just talking desk. All right, cool. So I got four monitors on my desk.
Because if you want to go that way, I got a 56 inch TV down in the living room.
And I've got a 110 inch projector screen with a 1080p projector. Anyways.
Well, I got a 56-inch projector.
There you go. All right.
That's just because the wall isn't far enough away. Okay.
Next section is they're giving away some Halo E3 swag. So they've got five grab bags. That includes one of the E3 posters, a Reach mouse pad, a Noble Team pin, a Halo Infinite poster, and more. The tweet's over on the official Halo Twitter account, and winners will be drawn on July 12th. So you got some time. You just got
to. You know, I would get that mouse pad if it was about twice as long than it is. You know, somewhere, you know, where I had enough room, I could set my keyboard on it as well.
That's a mouse pad, not a keyboard pad.
I understand that, but I don't like having that edge right there.
Yeah, those can get annoying.
I mean, I can get it. I understand. And don't get me wrong, it's a good looking mouse pad. I just would have liked it, especially with the artwork that they have on it,
mm-hmm.
that it would have been, you know, the length it is doubled It's same height.
It would have looked good as a longer mouse pad, yeah.
Yeah, I think, especially with the artwork that they picked.
No, you're right. Definitely right. The last section, or, well, second to last section they have on here is information about the future of Flight. I mean, we kind of touched this on this one already. They had a flight out this past weekend with some targeted folks with specific PC builds and some streamers as well. Presently, they're looking at what their next flighting scope is going to be. Obviously, the groups are going to grow in size for subsequent flights, so just kind of stick to it.
Me next, please. Me next.
Me too. Please. And then the future of flighting is going to be
the future.
More people, more fun,
more firefight. I mean,
it'd be nice. They did have a firefight picture with it, so maybe.
Actually, I think that's part of the campaign. No, that is firefight. Never mind. That is.
That one's firefight because it has Firefight Classic in the bottom right.
Yeah.
They don't have a time frame yet, but they are looking.
I want these dev kits.
These older dev kits. So they had a community Q&A, and they have some pictures of some old Xbox original dev kits.
I like how the power cords still have the original cellophane wrap around them.
They're in mint condition.
I got a cool story about dev kits later when we talk about SPV3.
Okay.
Xbox original dev kits, not Xbox One dev kits, before anybody freaks out and thinks
right, that original.
We're developing on MCC or Xbox or anything.
Right. So there's a question about, or the last section is community Q&A. There's a question about MCC pricing. We've already covered that on here. Every game is going to be $9.99 with Halo 3 ODST and then Reach campaign as $4.99 add-ons. There's some questions about the improvements for Halo Reach and Halo CE. So they're not targeting the original Gearbox port for PC, but they're similarly what they did to MCC for Xbox. They're pulling aspects of Halo PC into the MCC experience. Will MCC be an always online game? Will you have to have internet connectivity? On Steam specifically, no. You will need to be signed into Xbox Live, though. Someone asked about mod support on PC. Ultimate end goal is to do it, but right now it's just their goal is to get the games even just working on PC to start with.
Yes, let's get them working first. Then we'll worry about mods.
Next question is, what sort of discussions have been ongoing as far as specific PC features? A lot of them have been FOV and frame rate specifically. Some things that they're looking at is just some of the difficulties and some of the PC-specific features that they're wanting to design and implement, and then some other wish list things. They're kind of taking it in strides as what can they do and what is best to do for the game for now versus what they can implement later. A lot of the stuff that they're doing is not easy. They're having to kind of change some core functionality of Halo and fill in some gaps, like the FOV slider where you're missing half your arm.
Yeah.
So it's just difficult. It's really what it comes down to. And they'll do what they need to do in order to get it functional. But as far as all the additional little fun PC specific things, they'll do what they can, but they're only going to do right now what's absolutely required. And then they'll look to add additional things on from there.
Well, you know, the good news is Reach and Halo 4 are going to be the two hardest ones, I believe.
Yeah, I would.
Because they've already done. Halo CE's already been out on PC. Don't get me wrong. I'm guessing, you know, there'll be a lot of tweaks that they have to do with that. Halo 2 has already been ported to PC. So those two get. And then they've got their Halo 3 that they just did that beta for in Russia.
They've already
done work on that.
Well, I believe that's completely separate. I don't think they're using any of Saber's stuff with that for MCC.
Well, I meant for the PC side of it. Now,
well, right. You know, but I don't think they're going to be using anything of that nature for it. I think they're probably reporting and redoing it all rather than using Saber stuff.
Well, I think GT's point is just saying there's the Halo 3 engine has been implemented on PC in some shape or form before.
Yeah, but I think that I would imagine they probably scrapped all that.
They probably kept some of it.
I don't think they did.
They most likely kept some
of
it.
And even if they did, they know where they can go get it.
Yeah. What will crossplay look at launch? They're aiming to get crossplay between Windows Store and Steam versions of the game fully functional for crossplay. As far as between PC and console, that's something that they're looking to investigate after launch. No plans for Linux support. There will be Firefight at some point, but there's no date at the moment. Their goal is for Public Flight 2, for the fighting program, to have Firefight in it, which they're going to dub their Firefight.
Woohoo!
And the big one is, when will Halo Reach be ready on PC and MCC?
When it's ready.
When it's ready. So there you go.
This is not going to be a short trip, people.
No.
There is a lot to do.
This will be probably at least 6 months from when Halo Reach launches, and we might even have another 2, 3, 4 months before Reach is ready.
Yeah, this is the epitome of square peg, round hole.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, this isn't going to be a quick thing. Honestly, judging from the recent history of PC Halo, they've already been working on this for a while.
Yep.
So
we'll have to wait and see.
We look forward to it when it does actually arrive. I do hope that I can get in on some of the testing. My motherboard part or my computer parts come in.
Right. So with the MCC update out of the way, now it's time to on a couple more things and then we'll hit on SPV3. There was an MCC playlist update that Snickerdoodle posted earlier today. So with Postums being out a little bit or busy with other things, Snickerdoodle posted up a little update. So some changes that they have are the entire infection offering for Halo 2 Anniversary has been refreshed, and they are breakdown or lockdown by Omar Lot RC Gravelord, which is on Warlord, which is also by Omar Sinkhole, which is on Skyward. And this is by Martian Mall Cop Boarding Pass, which is on Awash. This is by Sir Zanny. Drill Site, which is also actually the rest of these are on Awash. So Drill Site by Paints. Hive Mind by Commander Coulson. Scissor Tail by Oxy Clutch. Spillway by Martian Mall Cop. And Villa de Pina by Canadian Echo. So Halo 2 Anniversary got a little bit of an infection update today.
Little bit.
Just a little bit. On the Halo Outpost front, the official Halo Outpost Discovery app has been released today. So if you're going to be attending Halo Outpost Discovery at any point this summer, or more specifically Orlando, then you want to download the app. It's going to be essential to your experience, as we discussed with DJ when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. They've also been teasing out some of the exclusive gear that you're going to be able to get. They've have an exclusive shirt and a couple of hats that they're showing, and there's also a unique cover of Halo Lone Wolf, which will only be available at Outpost as well. They've posted the full schedule, which I've been upgraded for one of my panels to be on the main content stage, which is both exciting and a little frightening.
Dust is going to be in the hot seat.
Yes, yes. So I will be joined by Sketch, Bravo, and Grim Brother One to do my Halo Game Show panel. For those that are attending Orlando, this is going to be on Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. on the content stage. Nothing where my least prepared panel is the very first one I'm doing.
Way to go, Dust.
Yeah.
Look on the bright side. You got plenty of time to learn from the experience so my panel doesn't become a disaster.
I'm not worried about your panel. I'm not... The other three panels that I'm doing at Orlando, I'm not worried about. It's this game show one that I'm most worried about, and this is the first freaking panel I get to do. It'll be fine either way. It's just one of those things where it's like, I would like to get some things done, but if I can't get those things done, then I have backups. We'll see how it goes. They also have announced that single-day VIP passes at Philly for Saturday are sold out. And that's pretty much it as far as the Halo Outpost happenings have been going on about. So let's go ahead and jump on over to SPV3, the reason why Masters is here tonight.
I thought I was here to hang out with you guys.
I mean, that's always nice too, but so SPV3 is getting a massive update. So we've had Masters on to talk about SPV3 in the past, and this was their SPV3 kind of part one, where it was the first half of the Halo CE campaign on PC with their own added map of a longer version of Silent Cartographer. But with this update, there's a lot more content. So, Masters, I'll let you do the honors and let people know what they can find in this update compared to the previous SPV 3.1 release.
Yeah. So, just in case anybody's confused, we did SPV 3.0, which came out June 25th, 2016. And that was the first five original missions plus a redone version of our previous map, Silent Cartographer Evolved. And then 2 years ago in August, we released SPV 3.1, which included the back half of the game with all the flood missions. Oh, okay. And now this update, 3.2, contains six other missions that weren't in the original game, along with a bunch of various bug fixes and improvements to the 11 maps we had previously released. So it's 17 playable maps in total.
Always seven more bug fixes.
We're not in the original game. And it's just a massive headache to do.
So three of those maps are actually from a project that has had quite a lifespan on Halo CE before, but is being now wrapped into SPV3. So can you tell everyone who might not know about Lumoria?
Yeah, so Lumoria is a really cool project. They made it back in, I want to say, 2009 to 2011, they worked on it. And it was basically meant to be an expansion to the Halo 1 campaign. Same type of weapons, just be another like little mini campaign that would basically be an expansion pack. So they did that a number of years ago, and it's always been popular in the community, but here we are, you know, almost 10 years later with all the advances that have been made and the better understanding of the game. And of course, we've been, you know, the probably the biggest mod in the entire Halo Custom Edition history. So I always really liked it, and I wanted to bring it into the fold and kind of give it the SPV3 treatment and revise it just so we could have something nice for people to play and people could enjoy all the work they did. That was, I don't want to say it was forgotten, but people weren't talking about it. It was 10 years old. It was very hard to expose new people to it. And plus, over the years, as people added new things to the game, such as 60 FPS, open source, all sorts of enhancements, it actually broke the original maps. So if you played it, they would constantly crash.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it was sad because it's a really awesome creative project, but it was kind of getting swept into the dustbin just as time went on. No fault of the original team's own. So I approached them about bringing it in and kind of making it be a little expansion pack to what we had done. And we talked it over and, you know, came to more or less an agreement about it. And we've been working on it to include in this update. And so far, people really like it.
Very nice. It's definitely a lot of work that you guys put into it. Lumoria is definitely another big fan project comparatively for, like, with regards to SPV3. I know there's a few other smaller campaign that I've seen on halomaps.org, but other than SPV3, Lumoria, I think, was probably the other more well-known campaign mod for Custom Edition.
I wouldn't even call it a campaign mod. It was really just a custom campaign. I mean, it's easy to get the two mixed, but I mean, just for people who aren't familiar with it, what they were really doing with it was making, you know, trying to build on to the original game in a way that kept a lot of what was there, mm-hmm. rather than do what we did, where it's a total sort of reinvention of everything.
Right. Yeah. No, that I was using bad terminology. You're right. But the nice thing about it is this, it's a kind of complementary campaign to the kind of Reach in a way, even though it came out, I guess it was developed during the time frame of Halo Reach, but it's, well, should I touch on this, like at least the foundation of the story a little bit, or should I just kind of let people? So just from me playing the first bit of the Lumoria campaign a little bit,
Avarz, you mean, or the original?
No, from the release in SPV3.
All right. Yeah, just people might get confused. I mean, it's easy because there's now two Lemurias. So.
Gotcha. Well, I'm assuming the Lemuria in here is still similar to the original.
Yeah, I mean, the story hits a lot of the same notes, but there were reasons that we restructured parts of the story. We basically dubbed over the original story and changed a few things in it. Some for storytelling, some for continuity, because there was stuff in the original Lemuria that dealt with librarians and mantles and stuff like that. That just doesn't make sense anymore, given the way the lore has expanded.
Gotcha. Okay. Also, based off what I was playing through in the SPV3 version of Lemuria, what I picked up on is it's kind of a split off of what happened with right after Reach, when the Covenant started glassing it. Master Chief and Cortana and Keyes and the Pillar of Autumn did a random slip space jump and landed at Halo, but there was this other group that did a random slip space jump and landed on this other planet that had a Covenant presence and also had some Forerunner artifacts on it, and they're trying to explore it and figure out what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something we did differently. The original was a prequel that took place in, like, 20 years before Halo 1.
Oh, okay, so it's still...
So, yeah, we kind of brought it in line with the stuff after Reach, so it had some connections that people could latch onto the story rather than being in a total silo.
Okay.
And then if you... I don't think your build had the terminals, but the terminals have some connections both to Halo 5 and what was going on Installation 04 at the same time, because while Lemuria is going on, the Chief is having his adventure on Alpha Halo.
I did see terminals that it did have the prompt to activate them, but nothing happened.
Yeah, they weren't implemented in that one build.
Yeah. So, yeah. The campaign, though, it looks pretty cool. I could see a lot of the influences on where you guys have developed a lot of the weapons and look and feels and armor abilities for SPV3 and see how that got integrated into your version of Lemuria. And for the most part, it feels very much like SPV3, but at least it's a different story to explore. So it's a truly custom experience.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like sister campaign, or like a little sister campaign. Because we've taken out a lot of the weapons and kind of reshuffled them. A lot of stuff in it, in terms of just gameplay and weaponry, was pulled from our canceled Project Oddball, which was an ODST sequel that we were working on after SPV 3.1 that we had to cancel. So we recycled a lot of ideas from that into this just to give it a unique feel. And there was also a problem with Lemuria 2 when we first integrated all the SPV 3 content. It wasn't playing that well, and what we deduced was that because Lemuria has such wide open spaces, and the SPV3 tag set works so well, SPV3 sandbox, in layman's terms, works so well at ranged combat, the game just ended up being more about creating shots at long range than it did about getting in close. So if you, when you play it, you notice that a lot of the weapons are a lot more close quarters combat focused and weaker at range.
Okay.
And that was to try to get the players to run around these big Lemuria environments more and get in close and have more close quarters combat than the ranged combat that all the weapons that we previously had would encourage.
So you got a little bit of game design aspects in there with forcing the experience on certain situations, certain maps, and different encounters, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like the battle rifle doesn't have the zoom that it used to. The pistol is the ODST pistol and does very low damage. The sniper rifle is gone, but the DMR has a huge damage upgrade and kind of takes its role. The SMG is better at close quarters. So there's like a lot of tweaks to the sandbox to encourage players to do more close quarters combat and more traveling around the environment so you can cover things of that nature.
Very nice. What are some of the other things for SPV3 specifically that you guys have added since releasing all the maps in your 3.1 update?
So there's three other maps in the project. And that is, the first one is called a map called None Left Behind, which basically takes you back to the mission Halo and puts you to do it in reverse. And there is the Spec Ops Covenant, the Flood, and the Marines, and the Sentinels. And your mission is basically to get to the base where the Marines are, rescue them, and get to a Pelican to make it to the Maw. So that's a whole new adventure where you get to navigate that environment in a different way. It's got a really cool dedicated Wraith section, which is really neat because there's never actually been, this is kind of weird, there's never actually been a full dedicated Wraith section in any of the Halo games. The closest thing you get is the very end of Halo 2. And even then, that's only on some difficulties when you can take the Wraith tank to get to the control room. So it was kind of cool to design.
Right.
Yeah. So we designed, initially that mission was going to be all about using the Grizzly tank again, and now it's about 50% Wraith mortar, 50% Grizzly. But it's nice because due to the terrain on the mission Halo, there's lots of hills and rocks. So you can actually position the Wraith mortar tank in ways that it'll shoot over the rocks and over cover to kill the Covenant. And it's just a really unique experience with some unique gameplay aspects that you won't find in any other Halo mission in the franchise.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then on top of that, we also have two missions called the Commander. And we have the Commander Classic and the Commander Evolved, which has you revisit the Silent Cartographer installations. And in SPV3, we have both the classic version of it, which is the original layout that we all know and love from 2001, and then a revised layout that an offshoot of our team did several years ago. So one, the evolved version of it is like an action-adventure story where you fight the brutes and travel around the installation with Halfjaw, the shipmaster, and the fourth elite from Halo 3's co-op campaign. So you guys are all on an adventure, killing brutes, fighting Flood, fighting Forerunner Sentinels. And then we have the classic version, which is, like the original Silent Cartographer, a free roam area where you have to search for clues and uncover the mystery of what happened to the brutes, what are the Flood doing, and then you have to go visit the different parts of the island to complete your objectives.
Okay.
They're both really unique missions. We totally redesigned how the game plays when you play as an elite. We've upped the player's speed, their shield strength, taken away access to all the human weapons, and then most notably, we've added the energy sword as your armor ability. So when you're back in the corner, you're low on ammo, you can just press the flashlight key, pull out your sword for a limited amount of time, and hack away at all the Flood.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's very different than anything else in the game.
I kind of get a little Borderlands sense there, using like abilities and whatnot.
Yeah, well it's kind of funny because other than the None Left Behind mission, which has its own unique things going on in it, we really branched away from the stuff that people expect and started doing things that were a bit more creative, which was nice because in the past we've always been limited to, you know, what are we going to do with these original campaign missions and how do we make them more interesting for people? How are we going to make sure that people are interested in playing these after the game's been out, you know, 15 years? And right. I think we've done a good job at that, but you can't keep pulling the same tricks out of your hat with the same weapons and the same types of enemies. So we do that pretty much for only one mission, which is None Left Behind, which is unique enough in its own right. I mean, it's got the Wraith section. It's got more Grizzly stuff. It's got Marines versus Flood. It's got the Sentinels in there. It's a little bit more open-ended than some of the other missions where you can complete some of the objectives in any order you want. But you never really have anything in any of the games with the Marines versus the Flood. You have one small section in 343 Guilty Spark where it's like two Marines that almost instantly get killed.
Yep. And
then you have Floodgate, where the Marines very rarely show up and they're also, again, almost instantly killed. So it was fun to experiment with that. And also for players to hear all the original lines for the Marines, because the Marines have a full set of dialogue for killing the Sentinels, killing the Flood, that people may have never heard. So all of that old audio content that was recorded, you know, almost 20 years ago now, you can hear for the first time.
Is that just like leftover stuff that you found in the game code?
Yeah, they didn't even bother to remove it. It's just kind of sitting there.
Well, I mean, that's seems to be the norm. I mean, there's the whole Warthog Run level in Halo 2 that apparently people found.
Yeah, that thing's pretty cool. I actually got to talk, I mean, it's a side story, but I got to talk to the mission designer for that a couple of years ago about what he had done on that mission and kind of what went wrong. So it was cool to see that. He actually responded to the recreation that people got working. And I don't know how they got that working, because working with any of the Halo 2 tools is a nightmare.
There's probably some custom stuff that they worked with.
Yeah, there's still a pretty dedicated group of people who mess with that game. I know people are surprised people mess with Halo 1, but Halo 1 works, and Halo 2 Vista kind of doesn't. So the fact they've been able to get as far as they have is pretty remarkable and really cool.
Sure. Yeah. GT, you have any questions?
No, I have the comment on the, you know, energy sword being used as an ability. That's an interesting trick. I did get a chance to play a little bit of that mission before my computer went. Anyway, I find it interesting that you tied it solely to the melee.
Well, it's interesting because, and it's funny because I've wanted to do this energy sword thing for years, and anyone who follows me on YouTube, Twitter, is in our Discord knows that I really hate the energy sword. But what people haven't noticed, and this has been going on maybe 3 or 4 years now, that every time I talk about why I don't like the energy sword, I talk about it in very particular terms as to how it works in Halo's 2, 3, 4, Reach, and all the official games.
Mm-hmm.
Because my big problem with it is once you have the sword, there's no reason to melee. I mean, sorry, there's no reason to shoot. There's no reason to use grenades, because once you close that gap and you melee, they're dead. Mm-hmm. So you're taking away vital parts of the gameplay loop to support that sword. Like, why would you use a grenade when your lunge is going to kill somebody in one hit anyway? And if it's something like the Elites where the sword doesn't kill them in one hit, it's frustrating anyway because you're expecting it to be an instant kill. And then you're in their face, you hit them, they're not dead, and then they hit you back. So I always thought it was more interesting to have it there when you're backed into a corner to use for a brief amount of time rather than something that would discourage you from using the, you know, your guns.
Well, I can see, you know, that by, you know, where you remove the lock-on feature and the lunge of the sword. I thought it was interesting that you chose to not give the light and heavy attack.
Yeah, I mean, well, what we really wanted to do, and this is based off the Halo Legends short, the package, is we wanted to have left click let you raise the sword in front of your face to deflect incoming bullets and plasma mm-hmm. bolts. But we couldn't get that working. The sword is essentially just the oddball or the flag, in that it gets applied to you over your two primary weapons, and when you fire or throw a grenade, it gets dropped. But the challenge with it was getting the weapon to delete itself once you drop it, and that ended up being a bit more difficult than we thought because you can tell the game to delete an object, but if you're holding the object, the game won't do it. But what you can do, and this came out of the having the Jaggle shield, which can take damage, was that you can damage an object so that it gets deleted, which works while saying delete the object doesn't, if that makes any sense, just in sort of technical terms.
Like a warthog type of like if you blew up a warthog or a
wraith or something. It's depleting the health and telling, and the game says when the health is depleted, delete this object. And it's at its dead and that it can't be used anymore.
You probably have a library of tricks that you've somehow collected and figured out over the past years of having to deal with this antiquated engine.
Yeah, well, I mean, but what was nice about doing that stuff with the sword is once we looked at that, it actually got us to reevaluate how we did sprint, which basically loaded the player into another biped and had them running around using an unused animation meant for the pelicans. Basically, when they were developing the game, they wanted you to be in the pelican to put your gun down, sort of like how Halo 5 has your gun down sections. So when you're sitting in an aircraft, your assault rifle is laid sideways. And that animation is actually left in the original game, so we incorporated that into a biped that you could run around in. But that had its issues with some jankiness and the fact that you could basically enter the vehicle mid-fall and break your falls and like get out of parts of the map. So now we're actually applying a whole separate weapon to the player with a different animation and passing data off between the weapon that they were holding and the new weapon that's given to them. Again, like the oddball or flag or the sword, and then upping the player's speed when they do that. And that's how we do the new sprint, which plays so well. There's actually been a couple of people say they think it feels better than the sprint in the official games, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, Late Night Gaming was pretty impressed by it. Like, if you've ever felt any sort of weirdness, like the odd pause in Halo Reach before you start sprinting, like, we don't have that. You just go right into it, and we even integrated a bit of Spartan Charge into it. So when you're running and you melee, it'll do extra damage and exert force on whatever you hit. So you can do stuff like stick a grunt with a grenade, sprint at the grunt, melee the grunt, and the grunt will go flying like a little rocket into the elites and stuff. It's pretty fun.
That's cool.
Well, see, that actually makes sense. I mean, because you're a ton of Spartan sprinting. You ought to be able to have some mass.
Yeah, like it's fun. I love punting the grunts because I'll run at them, like hit them, and you hear them go, "Wah!" And they'll like fly off a cliff or whatever.
That sounds
or you'll
like a
see their dead body like whiz by an elite. Whee. And if you're really good with it, you can do a very short sprint and melee them to do double the damage, even at close ranges.
Hmm.
So as long as you keep your momentum and you have your timing right, you can do some pretty nice stuff even at close quarters combat with the Spartan Charge.
Cool. That's pretty nifty.
Yeah, that was one of the big breakthroughs. When we did that sword, it opened up a lot of possibilities, including hopefully one day for us to get our original vision for the gravity rifle. So,
for the gravity what?
We wanted to do a gravity rifle at one point. And instead of making it like shoot its own projectiles, we wanted it to load the grenades that you had in your inventory. So it would basically be like the Halo 4 railgun, except you could put a plasma grenade round into it, or a frag grenade, gravity grenade, cluster grenade. Stuff like that.
Dang.
Yeah. So it would be like a grenade launcher that actually fires your grenades that you have in inventory. But getting it to switch between those different projectiles was not possible at the time. But now that we can delete and add weapons to the player in this manner, it's actually something that could be possible to do again.
Very cool. You guys are coming up with a whole bunch of little different tricks, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we try. I mean, that's part of the fun of modding this old game, though, you know. You know, how many different crazy, insane things can we do and how far can we push it? And even though the game engine is old and it's limiting and it's kind of ugly, you know, we've got good enough visuals. It's, you know, we've got some of, I think, best Halo gameplay out of any game. I know everybody has their favorites, but it's not uncommon to find people on YouTube who, you know, put us at the top or second best. So considering these are all AAA, you know, widely popular games, you know, to even, you know, be compared is pretty great. I mean, of course, we're building off what they did, but what Bungie did with the first game, but the fact that we haven't ruined everything is nice. And the people, you know, we have a pretty dedicated following of people. There's people who will message us and say, like, they play through the campaign, like, once a month, you know, which is, I find, pretty remarkable considering, you know, the game's almost 20 years old at this point.
Yeah, it's you guys have done a really good job, you know, with the custom customization of the existing campaign and the creation of the new levels and new sections of levels, which it's just really impressive. And it looks really good. I mean, it's not what typically comes to mind when you think community created. You know, you generally, when you see something like it, you automatically think subpar. But, you know, this is good, high quality stuff. And I've been real impressed with the amount of time and effort you guys have put into this project to turn out this high quality mod.
Yeah, it almost feels like its own game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be honest. We've probably unhealthily obsessed over things. Like, man, what's a good example of it? All right, here's a good example. While we've been on this call for whatever, like, I've been fiddling in the background just trying to get the health regen to recharge the health just to the right amount, so you have the yellow when you have two bars missing and things like that. I can't tell you how many times we've gone back over even simple things, like just trying to get a Banshee to fly through the sky on patrol. Like, now when you play the mission Halo, if you look in the distance, there's all sorts of Banshees and Phantoms that are just on patrol heading towards destinations going after the life pods. Like, when the life pods come flying in after the first tower, you'll see Banshees in pursuit of them. And when you open up the mission, you'll see Banshees flying, looking for the life pods that have crashed. Stuff on, keys, we have the Banshees that are flying around, escorting the Phantoms and heading to the ship, bringing the Spec Ops teams in. Like, there's just, like, small touches that we'll obsess over for, you know, long periods of time, or maybe we shouldn't do it, but we do it anyway.
Well, I think it's kind of a testament to you guys poring over all the details that you want to try to get right. And there's a parallel there with kind of what 343 is doing with MCC. They're trying to go through everything that they're doing for Reach and all the other games, trying to bring the PC and making sure everything fits together the way that it should. So, I mean, you guys are putting in that same kind of tenacity and that attention to detail, and you're not even getting paid for it.
Not yet, at least. Let's hope one day. But, the new SOCOM BR Lemuria campaign, the glass scope that it has, we were looking at some Halo 5 concept art, and we probably spent a good 3 or 4 hours just trying to get that one piece of glass shader to look just right.
Well, you know, that's it. It really shows in the work that's produced that you guys really care about the project and that you're really committed to it. You know, I understand the obsessing over things. I actually had a problem with that this last weekend. I was so obsessed with rearranging my office that I didn't actually go to sleep until 4 o'clock Sunday morning. After getting up at 5 o'clock Saturday morning.
Oh, jeez.
So, I'm still recovering from that one.
I bet.
But you guys, I'm really impressed with it. And I'm someone that's relatively new to playing mods, because I've never really been a PC player. So I'm relatively new to this genre, and it's inspired me to check out some other ones. The Lumoria. I had actually planned on installing that mod as well. I just hadn't gotten around to it yet. Because I've heard about it, but I'd never played it. So
yeah, it's definitely worth checking out the original in addition to ours. Like, and just seeing. I mean, regardless of what style of whatever you like, someone likes better, like, it's really neat to see the evolution of this stuff, just even from a historical record of just what people were doing over the years of this game. And the original Lemuria offers some stuff that ours doesn't either.
So reason to play both.
Yeah.
It means I gotta go find it now.
Yeah, you can go to lemuriace.com and grab a copy of it there.
Okay.
But, you know, it's funny, though, because I'm an Xbox player myself primarily, too. I'm not really big on PC games, which always surprises people. But it's like, you spend so much time on it.
That's why I play Xbox.
Right?
Yeah, but I have always viewed this project as more for the Xbox crowd than the PC crowd. And the PC crowd obviously enjoys it, and they like their Halo. But for me, in order for this to actually be good, It has to be good enough for fans of the Xbox to want to play on the PC, and it has to deliver the same quality and expectations that you get from the Xbox. And sometimes that means making sure it is painstakingly easy to install and operate as you can. So,
well, that's something that I was really impressed with as well. I mean, it's no different than installing any other game. You run the you run a install file and it's done. You know, where some of the older mods, you had to know where to put the maps and, you know, the different pieces of the mod, which, you know, a lot of people aren't that familiar with computers to know where to be able to put that stuff, even if you explain it to them.
Well, right, exactly. Like, you know, you have a lot of Xbox people come over to try it out. Because the way I've always viewed the PC version of Halo, and this goes back to 2003 when it came out for the first time, and they added the online multiplayer and the new Gearbox maps. It was like, okay, I love Halo on the Xbox, and now this is Halo, like, 1.5 or Halo Plus. It's Halo with extra added value. And that's what drew me to Halo on the PC in the first place. Not that it was a PC shooter game, but because it was more of what I liked on the Xbox. And that's how I like to approach a lot of this stuff, too. You know, it's got to be able to appeal to the people who are on the Xbox, who want to play something new that's Halo. Maybe people who are, I don't like when people get into the whole 343 versus Bungie thing, but if you're someone like me, who was never really that satisfied with the later Bungie games, it has to be something that appeals to what you like about Halo. Whether that be, you know, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, ODST, and we have a little bit of something in there for everyone. You know, if you're a fan of Halo 2, a lot of Halo 2 fans are really into these new Elite missions. And the storytelling, Halo 4 fans really like the fact that we have Sprint and all this terminal story stuff. Halo 1 fans just love the amount of Flood and the exploration, that it's more of what they loved about that original game. I don't really know what Halo 3 fans like about it. I think Halo Reach fans like the armor abilities and some of the more grittiness and the addition of things like the Brutes and the Skirmishers that make it a bit more Reach-like. And then even with Halo 5, Halo 5 is a pretty huge influence on a lot of the new stuff in this update. Because when we released 3.1, Halo 5 was just about a year old. Maybe a year, year and a half old. So now we have revived mechanics like Halo 5, but done differently. People have responded to that really well. The Elite missions also have a focus on the movement like Halo 5 has, while you don't have your Clamber and Spartan abilities. The added shield strength and the added speed of the elites and the overwhelming number of Flood enemies means that players are running around the level, trying to find ways to flank and using their squad mates as distractions and trying to leverage everything to their advantage. So it has a very Halo 5-like feel. And the biggest thing is the revive system. That, you know, is neat because there's times in the other games when your Marines die, you have an exponential increase in difficulty. And now when there's a penalty for not protecting your allies, but that penalty is only temporary. And if you look at the original Lemuria, where they had the ODST buddy, Brandon, always using a shotgun, you could basically hang back and let him move into the fight and shoot the elites and one-shot kill them. So now he has a DMR, so he's always kind of hanging out on the outskirts of the fight and covering you and popping elite shields if he can. Where if you're hiding behind a rock, you can try to force the elite into his line of fire, where he'll keep putting bullets into the elite, maybe breaking the shield, maybe killing him. But you actually have a really nice squad dynamic system with him. And that,
okay,
yeah, and that revive hero mechanic is also integrated into stuff with Johnson in the mission Halo. He's on the Truth and Reconciliation, so he'll no longer die, and he's not invincible, but when he takes damage, he'll fall down, and you have to pick him back up.
Oh, cool.
And you also have that with Ratas and Uze in the Elite mission, as well as Brandon Lemuria. So I think we have that hero system then in 7 out of the 17 missions.
That's a cool addition.
It's good, too, because since we don't have co-op, and we never will, giving that boost to the allies and making sure they can always be with you for certain periods of time gives you sort of a co-op feel and brings some of that fun of feeling like you're coordinating with a partner. You know, while playing the game.
So for those of our listeners who have not either heard of SPV 344 or are kind of new to the mining scene, Tell us why you can't have co-op for Halo PC.
Well, Gearbox didn't support it when they did the port, which was probably the right decision at the time. Just given, you know, difficulties of porting it and all that. But the netcode doesn't support it for online, but also we've had to strip out a lot of the stuff in the scripts for co-op and functionality in order to make room for our new features. So for us to add that back in, it would just be an astronomical task. And plus a lot of our new systems, like the armor ability, sprint, things of that nature, are solely built around one player. So you would have a lot of weird stuff if you added a second player who wouldn't have access to those abilities.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much impossible for it to happen. Even if 343 hired us tomorrow and gave us a budget, it would still be like a year's of work. And we'd have to tear out entire chunks of the mod and redo them from scratch.
At that point, you just work on a different engine to rebuild basically the whole SPV3 experience.
Yeah, like there's just no real way of, there is no real way. I don't, even if offered like the chance, I don't know if I would want to go back and work on these missions again.
Sure.
For like the fourth or fifth time to get it working. But I think it stands on its own for what it is, and I, as much fun as it would be to do with co-op, this is our vision for it, and you know, we're pretty happy with it.
Very nice.
There's really not much we would change if we could.
Well, the nice thing about working on a game that's 20 years old is pretty much everybody's got something they can play it on.
Yeah, we actually have even better optimizations on this version than the old version. So you won't get as good, you won't have access to some stuff like visor and thermal vision, but you'll be able to take advantage of a lot of the new post-processing features, but be able to have, you know, performance very similar to that of the stock game. Not the same, because we're using a lot of higher quality models and textures, but still very, still a significant improvement from the base game without that much compromise in performance.
Yeah. I have to admit that, that is one thing I did notice with your last revision, 3.1. I mainly play it on my laptop as kind of something to kill time with while I'm out and about, and it definitely would run a little harder on my laptop than it did to desktop.
Also, there's a problem with Halo in that when a computer has two graphics cards, it will default to putting it in low power mode, so you won't get the full performance. And it's just the old Halo CE thing. We're still looking at ways on trying to make it so people don't have to change that manually. But that's one of the things that we'll be doing leading up to release and post-release as we update the launcher and continue to add features into it.
I did not know that. I'll have to...
We're going to have like a little tutorial thing, and it's going to be in the README when that gets added into the launcher. We'll probably put like README in quote, and then like in parentheses, note, like, please really read me. So people actually check
read
it out.
Read this, please.
I didn't know that either. So
yeah, I didn't know it would default to low power mode.
Yeah, it only does it on some machines. And I'm not sure why. I guess just because it's such an old game, it doesn't get recognized.
Maybe. That is a little strange, though. So I know we're running long, but I'll wrap up with these couple of questions. Tell us about the launcher and what it's designed to do. Because a lot of mods, it's like traditionally, it's you download a certain amount of files, you place them in certain directories or replace them. What does the launcher do for SPV3 specifically?
Yeah, so it's funny. I was talking to the launcher's creator, Umaris, earlier about what we were going to put him in the credits. Because typically launchers, you know, you just use them to launch the game, but ours is so much more than that. It'll help configure controllers. It lets you choose how, what quality post-processing you want on the game image, because we built post-processing right into the game now. So if you want advanced graphics features, you can turn them on and off there. It also allows the game to save and resume, and also now allows an alternative save file to be loaded each time you launch the game. So if you're playing SPV3 and then you go play regular Halo Custom Edition and play a map that overwrites your save progress, the launcher will restore it. It also lets you do custom resolutions. And what's nice is you can do almost, as long as your monitor supports it, you can do any resolution. You can do 3840 by 1080 by 1080, which is like called
ultra wide.
Well, no, ultra wide is 2560 by 1080. So this is like super ultra wide. Like you're looking at, you know, something that like basically two TVs right next to each other equivalent. You can also even play it in a square mode. Perfect for if you want to put stuff on Instagram. That's only a joke. We don't actually advise people to do that. But you can do that if you want. But it's nice because you can basically play it if you have a 4K display at pretty much any resolution or aspect ratio that you want.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we'll be adding more stuff into the launcher as time goes on. We're hoping to use it to add things like campaign scoring in the future and new features like first-person legs, fly-by-wire rockets. There's a lot of stuff we can do with that launcher in order to deliver small updates to the player that can change the game in fundamental ways. But it can also deliver big updates too. So if we need to fix something in a map, like a problem shows up in a map that's significant enough that it's worth forcing everybody to download like a 100 megabyte update, we can do that. And we can also set it so next time you boot up the game, when we release something like Firefight, you can just hit see that an update's available, hit update, boot up the game up, and have Firefight and all the new other features we add on there. And it also allows...
Sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, it allows message of the day, links to our Discord, Reddit, and Twitter account. We actually have an official SPP3 Twitter now, so anybody can follow us on there. We try to engage with fans in any way we can, get feedback. The DMs are always open if you have feedback for it.
Slide into those DMs.
Yeah, we actually had to close it because we were all terrified someone was going to send us Avengers Endgame spoilers on it. So the other day when we opened up the testing, people were like, yeah, we can't DM you. It's like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, we were terrified someone was going to send us pictures of, like, ruining the movie. So now that's open. So if you've tried to reach out to us before and couldn't, you can now.
There you go. And the music in the game is also another kind of big point of SPV3, and you have Jafet Meza who's working on your music. So you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that we found him. One day I was looking for something on YouTube and I found his music. I'm like, hey, like, would you like to come like do the soundtrack with us? We like your music. And he's like, yeah, sure. And here we are like 3 years later and he's become like a huge musician in the Halo community. He's actually redoing the entire soundtrack right now, and that won't be in this update, but there will be an update later on down the road where it's going to be, again, a whole new soundtrack of revised music with everything that he's grown and learned in the past 3 years since he did the initial run on it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can find parts of the soundtrack on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Prime Music or whatever they call it. So if you like the music in it, you can listen to some of it online too, as well as his YouTube channel.
Okay. Very cool. GT, any final questions for you?
No, I'm done.
All right. Well, thanks, Masters, for coming on and telling us about the 3.2 update. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people to check out. You said it's going to be launching on the 6th.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be launching it at midnight. So, like, I don't know if we were on the air earlier. I was saying, you know, the final release candidate is actually going to compile in a few minutes when I get off this call and going out to a bunch of people. And they'll have all of tomorrow to mess with it, especially there are people in Canada and the UK. And then the 5th will be fixing any last bugs, and then we'll be pushing out to the public in just about almost 48 hours.
Very cool. So where can people find SPV3 and download it when it's available?
You can go to our Twitter, our Discord, or our subreddit, which is rhalosbv3. And then we'll also have it posted on, you know, various other places with links to the subreddit. The subreddit is basically our hub. And also we'll have a ModDB page up, hopefully by that day, if not a day later, for people to come and check out a bunch of stuff on it. We've actually never had a ModDB page before. So everyone keeps telling us, like, you guys should be on ModDB. This will get, like, Mod of the Year. So
I was going to say, you could probably get nominated for a couple of things if you were on ModDB. So
yeah, well, people have described a lot as, like, the Black Mesa of Halo.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good comparison. I never made that connection, but yeah, definitely.
We've always, you know, every time we release it expands in scope and scale and where it goes. But, you know, as we keep advancing this thing and it keeps looking more and more like its own thing and it keeps getting more and more unique things. I mean, at this point, yeah, it's still a mod of Halo 1, but has so much extra content. Like the fact that it's literally a 24-hour long campaign now with 7 unique missions that are, you know, we're not on the Xbox. I mean, like, whether you want to replay Halo 1 again or not, there's plenty of stuff there for everyone and new things to explore. I think the Lemuria campaign is really going to be a fan favorite just because it's so new and refreshing and it combines such good work by the original Lemuria team in terms of level design and mood and atmosphere mixed with the uniqueness and all the features that we bring with the weapon set and all the advances with open source.
I could see it being a lot of fun, and yeah, those extra missions that you made, even with the 3.0 with the extended Silent Cartographer mission, that mission's a beast.
Yeah, there was a lot of work that went into it. I can't take too much credit for what went on with it because I was largely removed from it and working on the other part of SBV3. Well, they worked on the Evolve mission, but there was always like crosstalk, and you know, I begged them for a couple of hooks in it so we could later do the Commander mission. And this was going back to like maybe 2013, 2014 that I was begging them for. So these Commander missions, actually, the Commander was one of the first things that we planned as a bonus mission when we started the project up back in 2011 again. In summer 2011, when we decided that we wanted to get back into the scene and start doing stuff, and we started laying down the groundwork, one of the team members, the lag, had done just for fun. While there was no team, a version of Silent Cartographer where you played as elites fighting brutes. And I was like, yeah, this is like really cool. Like this should really be its own mission with its own story. And so this Commander mission has literally been an idea for almost 8 years now.
Wow.
Before becoming an actual thing. Always put on the back burner, always kind of debated about what we would do with it. And now it's actually like, and what's crazy to me is some of the testers like it more than Silent Cartographer. And Silent Cartographer is one of the, you know, always makes people's top 10 lists of Halo missions. And granted, we're using the same geometry, but the fact that we've been able to take that environment and put such a different spin on it that some people rate it higher, you know, I'm pretty proud of.
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely something to be proud of. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in to this episode. We're just going to do a short outro. You can check us on all our social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also find us on our streaming platforms. We are on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. This week, we changed up the schedule a little bit because of me going to Outpost, but we normally record our podcast Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Frag and Fridays, we will not be having it for at least this week, maybe the next 2 weeks, but those regularly occur on Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. GT, I think you're still hosting it. It's just not being streamed, correct?
Yeah, it'll still go on. We won't be actually pushing it out to the channels.
Gotcha. So make sure you still hit up GT on Xbox to play some Halo 5. We'll be doing that on Friday, 8:30 p.m. Goes usually for about 2.5 hours. And again, not this week, but next week, I'll be back with Laird doing some more Halo Wars Definitive Edition achievements. And that normally takes place on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Also, make sure you check out the latest loot crate. The last loot crate for year 3 has been extended for a month. So if you head on over to podtackler.com/lootcrate, you can take a look at the last one. It has the Noble 6 figure in it for you. To complete the year 3 collection. They're also having a 4th of July sale, which is Happy B-Day USA. So if you want to get 50% off of the crate, then you can use that and get your final crate. Also, make sure you check out the Halo Hub. It is a Discord server for content creators or fans of community-made content to share their creations. And I think Masters, you're over there, right?
But I think I'm gonna raise that up a little bit higher. But you can always at me or message me on there.
Right. So Discord, I'm sure there'll probably be a
server browser so you can see everything. Too many of them.
Yeah. Well, like the dashboard needs to have like
like a grid or two columns or something.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. All right, that's going to be it for us tonight, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. Like GT said, hopefully I'll get this posted not too long out there, but either way, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the podcast places. Thanks to those who listen to us live, and thanks to those who download us and listen to us. We appreciate all the support that you guys continue to give us, and we'll catch you all next week. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.